From the Annals of Thoracic Surgery and the Society of Thoracic Surgeons, welcome to Beyond the Abstract, part of the Society of Thoracic Surgeons Surgical Hot Topic Series. I'm Tom Varghese, a thoracic surgeon and deputy editor of digital media and digital scholarship for the Annals. This is a podcast all about the why behind articles and issues in cardiothoracic surgery and healthcare, and what are the planned next steps from authors and thought leaders in the field. We're glad that you are here. If you enjoy our program, please rate our podcast on iTunes or Google Play or wherever you downloaded this podcast. Your feedback is appreciated. Please remember, the opinions expressed in this podcast are that of the individuals and not necessarily of STS.
A century ago, Dr. Ernest Codman, a pioneering Boston surgeon, published his classic text, A Study in Hospital Efficiency, in which he outlined his end result idea, following patients long-term in order to better understand the effect of certain treatments. The notion of learning from the results of an intervention, be it positive or negative, in an effort to improve the quality of care, is a pillar of healthcare that remains today. This is especially true in the field of cardiothoracic surgery. Established in 1989, the Society of Thoracic Surgeons National Database and the Quality Program based upon it have come to be universally recognized as a gold standard for healthcare quality assessment and improvement. Throughout its 30-year history, the STS database has continued to evolve in order to meet the needs of patients, payers, regulators, and the public at large. In March 2019, the STS Quality Program was awarded the prestigious John M. Eisenberg Patient Safety and Quality Award by the Joint Commission and National Quality Forum. Three forces have recently emerged to transform the world around us: big data, artificial intelligence with machine learning approaches, and cloud storage. In today's episode of Beyond the Abstract, we connect with Dr. Felix Fernandez, a thoracic surgeon at Emory University, who is the chair of the Society of Thoracic Surgeons Workforce on National Databases. We'll discuss his article in the January 2020 issue entitled, The Future is Now, the 2020 Evolution of the Society of Thoracic Surgeons National Database, where he outlines an exciting initiative being launched this year with the STS database. The goals of the initiative are to create a user-friendly, nimble, cloud-based, and more readily accessible platform to facilitate real-time QI efforts. Felix, thank you for joining the program. And if you wouldn't mind, could you introduce yourselves to the listeners of the podcast?
Thank you, Tom. It's an honor for me to join you today and have this discussion. As you mentioned, I'm a general thoracic surgeon at Emory University in Atlanta, and at present, I'm the chair of the Society of Thoracic Surgeons Workforce on National Databases.
Felix is being a little bit humble. I'm one of the leaders in health services research in the world of CT surgery. Felix, the purpose of the podcast today is to really discuss this fascinating editorial that you just wrote for the Annals of Thoracic Surgery, the title of which is called The Future is Now, the 2020 Evolution of the Society of Thoracic Surgeons National Database. A few questions for you. First one, at the time of its release in 1989, the STS database was honestly an incredible leap forward with respect to standardization in terms of data collection and publishing of clinical outcomes in an organized manner. From your vantage point, both as a health services researcher as well as chair of the STS workforce on national databases, what would you say are some of the best accomplishments of the database in the past 30 years?
Well, thank you, Tom. Well, the primary focus of the database is to improve quality so outcomes are better for patients. So in that vein, I think that the greatest contribution of the database has been the measured improvement in outcomes for cardiothoracic operations over time, which means better outcomes for our patients. And this, at least in part, can be attributed to the ability of programs to compare their risk-adjusted outcomes to national benchmarks. So if you look at outcomes, for instance, for coronary bypass surgery, operative mortality has decreased 31% over the last two decades with marked decreases in outcomes such as renal failure, stroke, and reoperations. And similarly, in the field of congenital heart surgery, over time, we've seen significant improvements in outcomes for all operations across different strata of risk.
I mean, that's incredible. I mean, a 31% decrease in mortality. I mean, that's mind-boggling. I mean, you're essentially taking a very high-risk operation to this is just the way of doing things in the modern era. I mean, I don't mean to make light of the comments, but it's just that death is not an expected outcome. You're almost making that death is the unexpected. Is that a great way of framing things in terms of one of the accomplishments that the SCS database has achieved?
Absolutely. Our operations across all our specialty fields have seen marked reductions in death rates and major complication rates over time. And what this means is safer surgery and better outcomes for our patients, which is the entire mission of the Society of Thoracic Surgeons.
Now, one of the curious aspects is we've been wildly successful for the SCS database in the world of cardiothoracic surgery, but we haven't seen this in other specialties, honestly. Are there certain things that the SCS database did correctly that you think that led to that? Or, I mean, you've seen this from your vantage point as chair of the workforce. I'm just curious as to see what your opinion is on that comment.
Sure. And I think, as you mentioned, you know, the STS database, which is the cornerstone of the STS quality program, is really considered the vanguard of health care registries, and that's for a few reasons, I think. The data elements in the database are very granular, and they're developed by content experts, by surgeons. The penetrance, especially in adult cardiac and congenital heart surgery programs, is almost complete across the country. And all cases from these programs are recorded. And really importantly, there's a high level of accuracy in the data elements. So the database is audited externally, and there's less than 2% missingness in important data fields such as operative mortality. So if you kind of wrap it all up, the database is nationally representative, it's granular, it's accurate, the data is safe, and it's given back to our participants in a risk-adjusted fashion so they can see how they're doing and work to improve their outcomes.
Now, some would make the argument, Felix, that, you know, cardiothoracic surgery is actually doing a phenomenal job the way it is. So, but the article that you've written really talks about the goals behind the evolution in the database. What would you say would be the motivation for this evolution instead of just doubling down on what we're already doing, that, you know, the STS is being proactive? What would you say the motivations for that would be?
Tom, the motivations are to continue to evolve with the ever-changing needs of primarily our patients, but our other stakeholders, hospitals and health systems, payers. What this requires at present is user-friendly, nimble, cloud-based data platforms that can ingest and give data back to our participants in an efficient, secure manner, so we can look at our results in real time and really use our data in real time to improve the care of our patients.
Now, in the article, you've outlined exactly how you're going to go about doing that. For the listeners, some comments on terms of the processes that the STS is planning to enact starting in January of 2020.
So starting in January, there will be a cloud-based interactive database platform that has been specially designed for each of our databases. So content experts have helped design separate platforms for adult cardiac surgery, congenital heart surgery, and general thoracic. And the first thing this data platform will do is allow data managers to efficiently and securely and accurately submit this data. So they may seem like trivial things, but when the data managers submit the data, quality checks and missingness will be given back to them immediately. So they can correct any data errors almost in real time. So that means that the data is accurate and complete at the time of submission, so it can be given right back to the participants. So that's the first step and very important, accurate and very secure data. That allows us to present this data on interactive, customizable dashboards where our participants can see how they are doing in comparison to national benchmarks, and also manipulate the data in ways that help them answer any queries they have of interest. If you want to drill down to a particular patient cohort or outcome, you can apply filters within the dashboards to do so.
And that access to data is both unadjusted as well as risk-adjusted. Is that correct, Felix?
That is correct. And what I'll note, Tom, is that when the dashboards go live in January, the key components that will be present will be the uploader and downloader functions and presentation of accurate, unadjusted outcomes in comparison to STS benchmarks. Very shortly thereafter, as the article emphasizes, there will be a phased implementation of enhancements, and those being the risk-adjusted outcomes that will be present on the dashboard with the addition of more filters to manipulate the data. And this is a learning process with feedback from our members, I guess, as needed by our membership, or as good ideas come up by our membership, other filters to add for the data. These will be implemented into the dashboard so that, for instance, an adult cardiac surgeon can drill down on a specific cohort of interest, whereas a thoracic surgeon may want to examine the data in a different way.
Yeah, that is phenomenal. And for the listeners on the podcast, I really encourage you in Dr. Fernandez's article to really look at Figure 1, which is this conceptual model of the data flow between the Society of Thoracic Surgeons, National Database Participants, the Data Warehouse, as well as the Analytics Center, which is exactly the conceptual picture of the things that Dr. Fernandez just outlined just now. I guess one of the things, though, Felix, going forward, you know, this is obviously a leap forward in the sense of instead of waiting passively for reports that come back after a period of time, that we're able to get real-time data. But from your perspective, how will you know that this new evolution of the database is a success? I mean, what are the things that you're looking for? Are there certain outcomes you think are going to be different, or is it the behavior in terms of how our participants use the database? What would your thinking be on terms of what are the metrics of success?
Well, that's an important question, Tom. And primarily, you know, this is intended to improve patient outcomes. So we're going to be looking over time for continued improvements in the safety of our operations. But that's something that will obviously bear out over time. Initial measures of success will be in the efficiency of the upload of the data and presentation back to our participants. So there's very easy things that can be measured, such as the missingness and accuracy of the data on initial submission and the time it takes to adjudicate that. It's important to remember that the core strength of the STS database is the fidelity of its data, and without that, any of its other functions are really not of much value. So early on, it's going to be how easily can we get the data in accurately and securely, and give it back to our membership in a usable way. And then from there, you know, we can start to track outcomes, and certainly we'll be hearing from our membership, I'm certain, throughout this process, with their input, their satisfaction, and opportunities for improvement. And a major advantage of this database platform is its plasticity. It really gives us the ability to continue to enhance and iterate as we find better ways to do things.
Well, one of the fascinating things that I immediately thought of was that when you take a look at the landscape of businesses and healthcare in general, everybody's been talking about, you know, three big forces that are transforming or really changing the way that we take care of patients and the way we do business. And they include things like big data, cloud-based platforms, as well as the use of artificial intelligence. What you're actually outlining with this new evolution of the database is really hitting on all three of those themes, which I'm not aware of anything else in healthcare that has really achieved that. Would that be a correct way of stating that?
Well, certainly, Tom, this new database platform is has all the functionalities to delve into big data approaches. And when you combine that with the nearly 8 million archived records of cardiothoracic operations in the STS database with granular data elements, then I think you have the ideal substrate for artificial intelligence and machine learning approaches. And in fact, we're just beginning to delve into that. And there are working groups within the STS that are actively beginning to address this.
Well, you know, in the time that we have left, Felix, your perspectives of being in a pivotal transformation point in history in terms of we're doing things very well with the STS database, but we're aiming to do better. What are kind of the things that you think about, you know, from your vantage points, your leadership roles, and taking a look at trends that are coming down the pipeline in terms of how surgeons need to be involved in this and how to become facile with this? What are some of your thoughts?
Well, Tom, I think that we're just working on making the data that we collect more usable for our members so we can improve outcomes for patients. And there are many demands, as you know, on cardiothoracic surgeons, and the data needs to be readily accessible and usable and pertinent. So we're just trying to make the data as relevant as we can for our participants so they can be better doctors. And that involves leveraging the technology that we have available to us in collecting the data and submitting the data so it's accurate, and analyzing the data and giving it back to our participants, and also delving into outcomes that are increasingly more relevant to our patients. And this is maybe a last point that I'll end with. You know, we have focused very much on the STS database on operative morbidity and mortality, 30-day or in-hospital outcomes, and as I've mentioned, made our operations much safer. But now we're looking forward to a linkage that will be occurring this year with the National Death Index that will provide long-term survival data on all cases within the STS database, as well as be able to identify reoperations within our databases. So this will allow us to not only measure the safety of the operation, but the long-term utility of these operations for patients. That with plans to begin to measure quality of life through patient reported outcomes will really transform the database into a vehicle that not only measures the safety of an operation, but really outcomes that are very patient centric as well.
That is absolutely brilliant. I mean, I think for the listeners of this podcast, I really encourage you to go and read the editorial that Dr. Fernandez has written. And Felix, I wanted to thank you for taking the time to join us today. I love the way that you ended your editorial. Your final sentence said, for your STS national database, you know, emphasizing that this is, you know, your data, we're providing it back to you to be able to be used in real time to take care of your patient. I love the way you said it, for your STS national database, the future is truly now. And, I'm a big believer that the efforts that are underway will truly transform and make patient care even better going forward. But I wanted to just take a moment and thank you and the entire workforce for this important initiative. And we look forward to the work ahead.
Well, thank you, Tom. It was a pleasure talking with you today.
Join us next time as we continue to explore and debate issues beyond the abstract. You can connect with the Annals of Thoracic Surgery online at annalsthoracicsurgery.org or on Twitter at @AnnalsThorSurge.